There's so much health advice out there, lots of different voices and opinions, but who can you trust? Trust the experts, the world's brightest medical minds, our very own Cleveland Clinic experts. We ask them tough, intimate health questions so you get the answers you need. This is the Health Essentials Podcast, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic and Cleveland Clinic Children's. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this episode of the Health Essentials Podcast. I'm your host, Annie Zaleski, and today we're talking to physical therapist Melissa Dubrow, DPT, at Cleveland Clinic, Florida, about pelvic health rehab. The pelvic floor is a group of muscles found at the base of your pelvis, which itself is located at the bottom of your torso. These muscles help give you stability, but also ensure that the bladder, uterus, and rectum are supported and stay in place within the body. At times, however, the pelvic floor can become weak or tight, which can cause a variety of health issues. Dr. Dubrow is here to explain common causes and signs of pelvic floor disorders and what pelvic health rehab entails. Dr. Dubrow, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, tell us, what is the pelvic floor and kind of where is it in the body and what sorts of muscles are wrapped in with it?
So you've actually did a perfect job of explaining this. As you stated in the introduction, the pelvic floor is a group of muscles that form a bowl-like structure and help with elevating the pelvic floor, help with defecation. And it's located as a hammock at the bottom of your body and in the bottom of the torso, located around the pelvic area.
So what are some of the major functions of the pelvic floor then, in terms of, I mean, obviously with stability and helping with defecation, what are some other things?
So with the pelvic floor, you have five major functions. And when you think of the major functions, you want to think of five S's. You want to think of support of the abdominal pelvic organs. You want to think of stability of the pelvis, sphincter control, sex, and sump pump. Sump pump is basically just that the pelvic floor acts as a pump for the lymphatic and blood flow systems to flow toward the heart and prevent any pelvic congestion.
It stands to reason then that the pelvic area, including the pelvic floor, would sometimes develop issues and they could be pretty serious. So for what kinds of things do doctors usually recommend patients see a physical therapist?
So the most common diagnoses that I see are things such as weak pelvic floor, a tight pelvic floor, pelvic floor with increased tension, prolapse, pelvic dysfunction, urine or fecal incontinence, those kinds of things I see predominantly.
Wow. Those words, I think, prolapse and dysfunction, you hear those so often in connection with pelvic health. What do those terms kind of mean? When a doctor or a physical therapist says that, you know, what are they sort of referring to?
So prolapse is more of a it's a dropping or a descending of pelvic organs. So such as the uterus, the vagina, the rectum, the bladder, all of these organs can drop down into the vagina or the rectum. Most people will complain of a discomfort or a bulging feeling or even a dropping feeling down into the pelvic area. And then as far as pelvic dysfunction, you will see difficulty with coordinating contraction and relaxation, difficulty defecating appropriately or urinating appropriately. The patient may also experience pain with intimacy, difficulty with penetration, difficulty with a speculum exam. Difficulty with any kind of internal procedures, as well as difficulty with erectile dysfunction.
So who is affected by these kind of pelvic floor disorders then? And is it all ages, or is there a group that's more prone to having these disorders?
So yes, anyone can have pelvic floor disorders. Anyone with a pelvic floor can have pelvic disorders. So it doesn't matter if you have internal or external genitalia, or even internal and external genitalia, you could have pelvic disorders. Children from any age can have it up to older ages. Of course, advanced age is a little more prone to disorders, especially individuals with female body parts that are peri- and postmenopausal may experience changes within the vulvar and vaginal tissues due to estrogen changes. You may also see this within the trans community. You may find changes due to estrogen changes and changes within their medications.
So you mentioned sort of pain, and then among other things, and kind of a feeling of something dropping. So what are some other signs and symptoms of pelvic floor disorders that people might want to be aware of?
So frequency of bowel and bladder, you should be urinating approximately 6 to 8 times within a 24-hour period. And then you could defecate three times a day to three times a week within a given period, or within a week. Incontinence of urine, you don't want to have incontinence if you're laughing, sneezing, jumping or running, or even lifting a heavy object. You don't want to have these issues. I hear many postpartum people speaking of, I laugh, or I pee a little when I laugh. These should not be acceptable urinations. You should be able to hold everything.
So hormonal changes, and then also being postpartum, obviously are some reasons why people might develop pelvic floor disorders. So what are some other common causes then?
Trauma is a big one, whether it be surgical or a car accident or falling off of a horse. Trauma can be a definite issue, as well as being overweight. We've mentioned advanced age, overuse of the pelvic floor musculature, weak musculature. Now in the times of COVID, we've seen a lot more people who have been bedridden and need to build up the pelvic floor again after not being as mobile for a prolonged period of time.
So who are the people who can benefit most from pelvic health rehab then?
So anyone with incontinence, a weak pelvic floor, prolapse, anyone with a tight pelvic floor that may have pain in the low back or pelvic region, someone after cancer treatments who may develop vaginal stenosis, anyone after a surgery that may develop a weakness or even a tightness from the surgery or adhesions after the surgery.
So at what point then should someone seek treatment? What is sort of the point where you're like, okay, something is not working here, or something is wrong? When would someone need that pelvic health rehab?
So as soon as possible. we find so many people just kind of dismiss these issues, of, I just pee a little bit, or it's just a little bit of pain. It'll go away eventually. It's actually easier to treat when it's earlier on. You do want to try to get treatment as quickly as possible. Anytime we have such a shoulder pain, we go to the doctor and say, hey, doctor, what can you do for me? You need to be able to do this with your pelvic floor. You need to be able to feel free to talk to your doctor, give them information so that you can get treatment as quickly as possible for any conditions that you may have or pain.
So would you talk to your primary care doctor then? Is that the best person to talk to about pelvic health issues?
So yes, they're typically the segue, the introduction to any health issues that you may have. You definitely want to talk to your primary care physician. They may need to direct you to a gynecologist or a urologist or a urogynecologist, an obstetrician when needed. a gastroenterologist may even need to be assisted in cases of gastrointestinal issues. All of these people will definitely be helpful within pelvic health.
So how can you rehab the pelvic floor then? I mean, in light of this, because it does seem like, you know, different issues, you know, you might have different doctors and different people involved then. So how can you kind of rehab this?
So, by going to a pelvic floor physical therapist, they will, of course, look at the body, examine the body, assess it for strength, flexibility, mobility. They'll even do a posture assessment, make sure that there's nothing within the posture that is affecting the pelvic floor. And then they'll assess which exercises are required, which manual therapy techniques or biofeedback techniques, relaxation techniques are required to help and assist within this therapy program. And then they'll give you a home exercise program, or what we call a home exercise program, to perform at home on a daily basis or as stated by the therapist, and performed in conjunction with therapy. And each week when you go back to therapy, the therapist will progress the treatment.
So describe some kind of specific tools or exercises or techniques kind of used to help strengthen the pelvic floor, maybe some common ones that people might encounter.
So exercises are definitely common for the pelvic floor. The most common one known as Kegels. These help to strengthen a weak pelvic floor. And there's even a term called reverse Kegel within that helps to lengthen the pelvic floor. So you can strengthen as well as lengthen the pelvic floor. And in both cases, we use this to help coordinate the pelvic floor. A lot of times what we find within the pelvic floor is that, yes, it needs to be strengthened, but it also just needs the coordination and mobility to perform the full movement. When we have a weak bicep, a weak arm muscle, you know, we may not be able to do the full lifting of a dumbbell. So we have to strengthen it, but we also have to be able to lengthen it and allow it to get to the full extension. So in doing that, it's pretty similar to the pelvic floor. You're getting full contraction and full relaxation and coordinating those two movements. There may also be some external exercises such as clamshells, pelvic tilts, bridges to help improve the pelvis as a whole and help with all of the strengthening techniques or strengthening around the pelvis.
It sounds like then it's very, that the kind of the treatment plan is very specialized then, that they work to find something that's going to hit exactly where the person is having, you know, trouble to basically help strengthen it then.
Exactly. And it's no one treatment. It can be, you know, like I said, it can be a strengthening treatment, or it could be a lengthening treatment or relaxation treatment based on the individual needs. Someone who has pelvic pain, for instance, may not be able to handle a strengthening treatment. It may be a little bit too much and it may increase the pain. So they may need more of a relaxation or lengthening treatment.
Cool. So how long would you see a doctor for kind of any of these conditions then? Or does it sort of depend on the severity of what you're dealing with?
So it does depend on the severity. But the typical time frame would be 1 to 2 times a week for, you know, approximately 6 to 8 weeks. It can be shorter or longer depending on the problem and the duration of how long you've had this problem.
So what you've kind of gone through this pelvic health rehab then, you know, do you need to keep doing exercises to kind of maintain your health? Or is it sort of, you know, you go through this regimen and then it's like, all right, we're good. I'm fixed.
So your problem may be resolved, but you still have to continue the exercises. You still have to continue the the motions and the techniques and activities. You know, muscles need constant motion and activity, or regular motion and activity. The old term of if you don't use it, you lose it is also predominant within the pelvic health community. You need to use it. You need to strengthen it. You need to keep it moving.
So is there a point where someone should consider surgical techniques to help, or they might require something, intervention that's a little bit more than potentially what they've been doing already?
Yes, definitely. If an individual is not progressing with their current plan of care, then they will definitely want to speak to their doctor and make sure that a surgical solution is the right choice for them.
What are some kind of common surgical solutions that people might see or that are typically done?
It's so vast. I mean, there could be mesh for prolapse, a sling that's created by using pelvic floor musculature to help keep organs placed appropriately in the body. There's prostatectomies performed when needed. There are so many different surgeries that can be done within the pelvic area.
So it's very similar to the rehab then, that there's, a whole array of things that can be done. So it just depends on what you're sort of dealing with.
Exactly.
So pelvic health rehab programs often include specialized care for transgender men and women. So are there special health considerations doctors need to take into account in these programs?
So yes, definitely. Just like any major surgery, these patients may develop some pain or some weakness within the pelvic floor and surrounding musculature. Whether it's trauma and or surgery, this can cause muscles to have some weaken a little bit more, or also tighten up and prevent movement because of the trauma that was just caused to them. So we definitely need to see where this muscular dysfunction or weakness or increased tension is to get the pelvic musculature to function correctly and provide the response and decrease pain.
Excellent. So are there any other final thoughts or information you want to share with listeners?
So yes. according to the National Institutes of Health, approximately a quarter of individuals with female anatomy and about 4% of men within the U.S. have pelvic dysfunction. I know these seem like small numbers, but I truly believe that they're smaller numbers than what is truly out there. I think this is a subject that people just don't talk about, and I feel that we really should start talking about it. This is not something that needs to kind of be hidden in the closet or put somewhere that we don't talk about. This should be something that we're very open with and speak with our healthcare providers and get the treatment as quickly as needed for all of these problems. What may just be perceived as back pain may be actually a pelvic health issue. And we need to be more open and speak about these things so that we can get the treatment that we needed.
So when in doubt, if something doesn't feel right, trust your instincts and talk to your doctor.
Definitely, definitely.
Dr. Dubrow, thank you. You've been so great to talk to today. And thank you for being here and sharing all your insights with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful being here.
To find out more about pelvic floor rehabilitation at Cleveland Clinic, please visit clevelandclinic.org/pelvic floor rehab.
Thank you for listening to Health Essentials, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic and Cleveland Clinic Children's. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit clevelandclinic.org/HEpodcast. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest health tips, news, and information.